got himself in there.
Hey, what's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast. Wow, that intro was a disaster. Ruined that like 6 times.
12 times a charm.
12 times a charm. I got a snooze in. It's probably going to wear out in about 20 or 30 minutes, and then I'm just going to be a mess, even worse than I am now. But, you know, it's going to be a good podcast. We got Mr. Human Giant.
Feels good to be back.
Getting back in here. And we don't have Matt Lieb, but we got the next best thing, which is Torio Van Grohl.
You'd be surprised how often I get introduced that way. Couldn't get Matt Lieb, guys. We got Torio.
Almost as good as Matt Lieb, Torio Van Grohl. San Francisco
at least
comedian.
85% as good as Matt Lieb.
Yeah. So Torio was just telling me, he didn't realize that I was from Fresno County until he saw my 559 area code. And he told me that he started his comedy career in the 559.
The comedy mecca of Fresno. That's where I started it out.
Oh, man. Tell
me. Did you ever get up at all in Fresno?
Okay, so I
picture a comedy set in Fresno is like behind chicken wire, like the blind guy in Roadhouse.
It's similar.
Okay. There's like a pregnant pit bull, like just walking through in the front.
A foreclosed house. You're actually in the foreclosed house. That's the comedy club.
Yeah, that's the comedy club. It's the underwater comedy club, underwater mortgage comedy club. Yeah, no, I didn't start in Fresno. I started in San Diego, which I believe
I'm from.
You're from San Diego.
We've been doing things weird, but we have the same life, just at different times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're like the lake house.
Yep.
So I started in San Diego. I took 3 years off when I moved to New York for grad school, because who does comedy in New York? Why would you do that? That would be good for
Fresno
your career.
Fresno is where you need to be.
Right. So then I came back like right when I started doing comedy again, and I felt like I was like a beginner all over again kind of thing. And I went to Fresno, and I'd been hanging out with like Columbia grad school people for 3 years. And you don't think that it affects you. I would think like, oh, I still know what people in Fresno would think is funny. And I'm like doing jokes about like how Dan Brown books are dumb. And it was just like, you could hear the whooshing sound of it just going straight over everybody's head. It was fun though. It was actually in a Thai restaurant.
Thai Palms, man. Yeah. That's where I started. That place actually was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, at least in my heart.
And yeah,
that
it was.
Place closed down. And scene kind of went to, you know. When your only Thai restaurant that does comedy closes down, what do you go to next?
It's the only game in town.
So, yeah. I mean, that was kind of I had a lot of reasons to leave.
Yeah. But, what were you doing? Why were you there?
I moved up. Well, I was living up in the mountains, mm-hmm. the Yosemite, Bass Lake area. I moved out for a summer just to like hang out on the lake and bartend. And then, you know, stayed for a year and a half kind of thing.
And you came up here.
And then I moved to San Francisco.
That's comedy mecca.
I want to avoid LA and New York as long as possible.
Right. Had you heard about the success of Matt Lieb and Matt Louvre and Kate Willett, and you just thought,
no.
These people are doing big things.
Huge things.
Yeah.
No, I moved out here, and right away, like the month I moved out here was the Rooster finals that we were talking about.
Yeah.
And that's when, and then Matt and I did that, and that's where we met.
Rooster.
Rooster T. Feathers.
Rooster T. Feathers.
Best named comedy club. Probably,
best named.
Probably in the country.
Probably in the universe.
Okay.
I'll be that bold.
Brendan, a lot of people express regret that Brendan was not here for last week's podcast.
And let me also express regret.
Yeah, please. Please do. Now is your opportunity to express regret.
I suppose that I can't, you know, the timing's good because as long as I don't go on a rant about Magic Johnson having AIDS, I'll look, you know, sorry. I'll look like genuinely,
right.
Recalcitrant. Is that the word I'm looking for?
No.
What's the word I'm looking
you're
for?
You're looking
remorseful.
There
something
you go.
Like that.
Something
yeah.
with a re in front of it.
Yeah.
I do have that clip. I wanted to talk about that. We're gonna talk about but Brendan missed the whole fraudcast about
just as an aside.
Butt,
I was gonna
stuff.
Say
and it, everyone knows Brendan likes butt stuff.
I do love butt stuff. I was gonna say it might be funny to have that apology because you only have the audio and you can just kind of picture Master Shake doing all the apology stuff because he sounds exactly like Master Shake.
All right, let's see if that works out.
I never dreamt that this could happen. It's a terrible, terrible nightmare. Magic Johnson, you know, has made a public comment. What do you have something to say to him?
What could I say to him? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm hurt, but it doesn't matter.
You're hurt that he said that he spoke out publicly.
I'm hurt that he called me up and he said, "Don't do anything. Wait until you hear from me." Then somebody called me later and said he doesn't want to be involved. And then he released a tape that I sent to him, that I talked to him in confidence. Here is a man who's, I don't know if I say this, he acts so holy.
You feeling that, Brendan?
Whoa, way to bury the lead. He's about to bust it out next.
Okay.
I mean, he made love to every girl in every city in America, and he had AIDS. And when he had those AIDS...
When he had those AIDS.
like it's a group of ne'er-do-wells that hangs out on the corner flipping a coin with a foot up against the wall, yeah. Flipping a coin and a toothpick hanging out of their mouth. Those AIDS.
Just flipping the switchblade back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
I think his widow, I got that wrong. Not his widow.
His ex-wife,
current wife. I think they're still married, right?
Yeah, yes. They are. That would be far too costly to actually dissolve that marriage.
Right. Well, she says that she thinks he has dementia. And, you know, I think she might have a point.
Well, yeah. That's what makes it so terrible, because it's like you can just make fun of this guy as much as you want, and then you realize you're just making fun of an old, demented man.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you have to pull back.
You're the 20-year-old that's like, oh, you're 30. You're old. You know, it's like, hey, guess what's going to happen in 10 years?
Yeah. I just, I want to know... You know, like, we can't execute people if they're mentally ill, but like.
But what I'm trying to say is,
as soon as you drop, as soon as you start dropping N bombs, all sympathy goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember we're watching that documentary on Tourette syndrome,
mm-hmm.
And it's like they could deal with her just like swearing and doing it, but as soon as it got racial, it's like, oh no, you got to get out of here.
Yeah, people got mad.
People got real mad.
I don't know why. She provided the job. She was a job creator.
Right. Well, Donald Sterling's got some other important stuff to say on the subject of race.
I remember when he came from Detroit.
That's so much like Master Shake.
Who's Master Shake?
From Aqua Teen.
Oh, okay. All right, right. Sorry. It's been a while.
Oh, you're telling me you wouldn't have sex with Magic Johnson? I'm sorry. That was a terrible Master Shake, but like I just keep waiting for him to say something outlandish, and he delivers.
For some reason, I was thinking Ninja Turtles. Now I get it.
Right. Now that'd be Master Shredder.
You know, Michael Bay really should have put Master Shake in the new Ninja Turtles movie.
There's your $1 million idea.
You know, there would have been...
Call us Michael Bay.
There would have been a fanboy outcry, but I think it would have been worth it.
Send up the Michael Bay signal.
You know, he was a great player. Great player.
You know something bad's coming after
I feel like he's forgotten he's on TV.
Right.
Like he's just talking to like a great-grandson.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I think is fascinating about it, because it's like, I think when you're really rich, you can just hold forth at length and no one will say shit to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like, mm-hmm. This is clearly a guy that's been able to just sort of orate and people are like, yeah! That's right, Don. That's true about what they say about those people.
I think he's just happy someone came to see him, and he'll like, I'll say whatever racist stuff you want if you'll just sit here with me and spend time with
my
me.
Kids. Don't come here anymore.
He secretly loves it because now he's actually getting more attention than he's gotten in the last 10 years.
He's been trying to talk to people.
It's a cry for help.
It really is. Poor guy.
But what I'd like to know exactly what does he do? He works with the Dodgers.
Oh, he's got a
business.
Do you
know what I do?
Movie theaters.
I spend millions on giving away and helping minorities. Does he do that?
By the way, Deadspin published like both of his and Magic's charitable foundation like tax forms, and Donald Sterling gave away like $300,000, and Magic gave away $2 million.
Yeah. Well, Magic Johnson has like a whole line. He has branded like Magic Johnson Theaters.
Yeah.
And it's all.
And he only invests in like black, you know, majority black communities and stuff. Like, it's very clear that like this is not an argument that Donald Sterling's going to win, which once again bolsters your argument that it's like no one's actually saying like this guy has dementia, which it's probably pretty clear that he does because this guy was a really successful lawyer and a pretty shrewd landlord at one point. Without
shrewd,
well, that's one way of putting it.
Discriminatory, yeah.
But, well, just in terms of his investments, how about that? Yeah. Well, you know, let's leave the racial component out of it. Like, obviously, the guy had enough wherewithal to make some really smart decisions and do some accomplish some things early in his life. So, I think you know, obviously, the guy's just losing his fucking mind right now.
Yeah, but I was talking about this with someone today where they're talking about the Jay-Z elevator tape, which is like apparently the biggest news that's going on in the entire country right now is the Jay-Z elevator tape. And it's like he always gets shit for like saying bitch in his song and like, you know, he's a misogynist and he's a sexist. But then when he's actually in an elevator with a woman who's like physically attacking him, he just sort of stands there and was pretty respectful about the whole thing. And there's this weird thing where words seem to count for a lot, but actually the things that you do don't really count for that much anymore. Like the part where Donald Sterling was doing discriminatory things, you know, was in court for, you know, all whatever his various housing shadiness that he was doing, which actually, you know, causes Black people to stay poor because they
violates federal law.
Violates federal law and it keeps the neighborhoods depressed and all that. So he's actually doing that. No one said anything, but the minute it would be turned into like the Mel Gibson
TMZ status.
Yeah. Oh God, I saw an ad for a TMZ comedy show. There's apparently all those people that are on.
I had to look at that for like 5 minutes before I could figure out what the hell that was.
Oh, God. About time.
Yeah.
Those guys are doing it.
Let's get a little more of this going.
That's one problem I have. Jews, when they get successful, they will help their people. And some of the African Americans, maybe I'll get in trouble again. They don't want to help anybody.
This is where you should stop.
What is Magic Johnson really?
I like when he's like, but you know something bad's coming where he's like, you know, he was a great basketball player. Because it's like, don't get me wrong, Michael Jordan could play basketball, but
I wanted them to like make a CD of this like ridiculous Donald Sterling rants.
Someone should put a beat like one of those like,
yeah. Have they not auto-tuned any of this yet?
Yeah,
I could fall asleep to that voice.
It's like
soothing.
He does kind of lull you to sleep.
He's the most soothing racist plantation owner I've ever heard in my entire life.
Hospital, which kids are lying in the hallways. They're sick. They need a bed.
Poor Anderson Cooper, by the way. This must be awful.
Didn't at one point he's like, let's just say you have a crush on a girl. Anderson Cooper's like, uh-huh.
Go on. What are you going to do? Well, now it's like she, his ex-wife owns part of the team and she doesn't want to give up the team. And now and LeBron James is saying he won't. They're going to lead like an entire boycott of.
I heard if they vote them out, then they vote all the owners out. That's how the NBA constitution, which exists. That's
really
a thing. So if an owner gets, then it's all the owners.
It's now a public document because when it first happened, there was some stuff about like, who knows what this means because the NBA constitution is not a public document. So we don't know what powers exist to like force him out if that's what they want to do. And then right before Adam Silver, made the announcement he's banned for life, somebody leaked it to Deadspin, so they actually have the full constitution.
That's a YouTube sketch waiting to happen.
Right.
the constitutional
NBA constitutional convention.
Yeah.
So if they, I don't know, the rules are out there. I'm sure someone has perused it to figure out like what power they do and don't have in this situation.
But it's weird the response because a lot of the players are like, well, if anybody in his family owns any part of that team, we're out. And you're kind of like, wait a second. All right, so he's racist, and by extension, anyone else in his family is also racist. And you're like, I don't know if that is. That's kind of the same thing as being racist.
As being racist, right.
They're worried it runs in the family.
Yeah. I think if I was black, all of those people are just the same, you know, all the Sterlings.
I feel like if I was black, I'd want like someone from a Jewish family to like be running the team because I think for people who are around our age, like every Jewish kid that we grew up with is like way into rap and like totally loves they love like NBA and they love hip hop.
Yeah.
And
Show me a white guy's name who's DJ Blank, DJ AM, DJ Ghost Dog, DJ whatever. I'll show you a guy whose real last name is Silverberg.
Right. Jewish kid from Long Island.
Orange County.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yep. Definitely.
My legal correspondent found some excerpts from an old Donald Sterling lawsuit in 2003. He gave a deposition against a former mistress that he'd never had, claimed he'd never had sex with, and then he excerpted some of Donald Sterling's testimony in that trial, and here's a little bit of it. Well, I fool around sometimes. I do. When a girl seduces me and tells me all of these hot stories and dirty things and tells me how much she wants to suck on me and takes my shoes off and licks my feet and touches me. When I'm in a limousine, she takes off all her clothes. The limo driver said, "What is going on?" And she started sucking me on the way to Mr. Coon's house.
What was the question?
Well, hold on. We're getting there.
That was the answer.
And I thank her. I thank her for making me feel good. Question. Sir, the question was, is this your handwriting?
When that first hit the internet, I was like, that's not real. That's not real.
The thing about the blacks is they don't give back when they make a lot of money.
I feel like we all have this relative.
Oh.
That he just doesn't own anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the relative like this who doesn't own anything eventually learns to, not keep talking.
Right. Definitely keeps it just when they're like in the dark at home.
But yeah, I think over the course of years, when you have a captive audience, got your limo driver, probably got like a butler, God knows how many people he has like working for him and in his house.
Well, I mean, it's a really simple equation. Like, the more money you have, the more you're able to surround yourself with people who will, like, just say yes to whatever, right?
Right.
Like, try saying that shit to a cabbie. Like, he'll get pissed off, right? But if you got a limo driver, he's like, okay. Right? Like,
whatever you say, man.
Whatever you say, yeah. Like, say that shit to your garbage man. He'll tell you to fuck off. But, like, your maid that you're paying every month, they're like, oh, okay. Just fucking deal with it. And then once you get really big time, you got, like, entourages that are like, yeah, man, yeah. Yeah, whatever you say, man.
Those racist entourages. That sounds nice.
They're like more like enabling.
Right. A lot of camaraderie though there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm. So Brendan has a favorite song this week.
Mm-hmm. I actually have two new favorite songs. Right. I don't know if you're gonna play both.
But. I'm gonna start with Stitches.
Okay, yeah.
And I think
should we talk about it first or should we drop the track on them? What do you think?
I think we should talk. I think there's a visual.
There is a visual that component that needs to company. Great song on its own merits, right. But there is a visual component that needs to.
Okay, so the artist is a white dude with a mohawk. He has gold teeth, and he's got a tattoo that makes it look like his mouth is stitched shut, sort of like a evil clown.
It kind of looks like Heath Ledger Joker,
right?
Almost.
But then he also has an AK-47 on his cheek.
Uh huh. And it's actually firing. There's shells ejecting.
Like a tattoo, important. Like a permanent tattoo.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Fantastic. Well, we think
it appears to be. Sure. If it's not, man, he's playing the long con for sure. He's got lots of photos on his Instagram feed and all that kind of stuff. So if he's not, wow, great job.
So his music career needs to take off.
Like, pretty much. Well, only... he seems to have a lucrative side career.
He's not going to be working at a bank.
Right. He seems to have a lucrative side career, which we could probably get into in the song.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that's true. He does seem independently wealthy.
He does. Yes. Yeah, drop it.
It's called Brick in Your Face.
Yeah. Too much egg squad.
Now what you gonna do with? 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 Now what you gonna do with?
It's pretty repetitive.
Now
I'll be honest.
What you gonna do with? Now what you gonna do with? Now what you gonna do with it? I'll put that brick in your face. Now what you gonna do with it? Now what you gonna do with it? Now what you gonna do with it? Better have my money when I come to collect.
I like that this beat is literally just three notes in succession. It's like A sharp B.
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Better have my money when I come to collect. Pay up, pay up, pay up. I'll put that brick in your face.
This goes on for like another 90 seconds, so you may want to go to the verse.
Yeah, go ahead. Go get a beer right now.
But his question is, what are you going to do with the brick that I put in your face?
It is. Yeah, what do you do?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Wait, but after about 2 minutes of saying, you better have my money and come to collect, he actually drops a nice rhyme, which is, I got a bullet in the chamber and it's ready to eject, which is kind of, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
That's a hot first line.
I think he was just repeating until he came up with that. He was composing that.
It took
in his
like
head.
2 minutes to come up with the first line. Like, I don't know what rhymes would collect. You ain't a man, you can't call it child
neglect. Little boy, if you want to shoot a face. Kind of sounds like Rampage Jackson.
He does. He does. $8, leave your face leaking. You better not tell the police I did it. I didn't take it. Anything goes. Always in the scene with the blood on my clothes. Then I go so cold to your hoe. Sorry if you didn't know that your girl love my blow.
The girl loves his blow.
Right.
Only one hit, and now she's on the pole.
Some good blow.
Some great blow.
Just the one hit.
What does he think of blow? Let's find out. Not a girl on the pole. I love selling blow. I love selling blow.
I love selling blow. I love selling blow. You know, he's not shy about the things that he likes and doesn't like.
Yeah.
He's pretty out front there with his opinions.
It's, you know, a lot
he's
of salesmen are not happy with their jobs, so it's refreshing in that sense.
He takes pride in what he does.
Also, to paint the picture here, the shots of him with the gold teeth and the face tattoos and the mohawk is also intercut with him, well, I believe it's him, wearing a Hellraiser mask and like with a hoodie over it and just like throwing bricks of cocaine up in the air and like scattering the powder everywhere. It's good.
Yeah, you'd think if you're selling blow, you'd be a little more careful with the product. Right. You know, you'd have some respect for...
Either that or he's got like a really good connect where he can make a lot of margin and he's got enough where he can like actually just... squander just a brick just because he can. He's got like that wire ass connect, like from the Greek. Like,
is that a phrase, dude? I got that wire ass connect.
It is now.
I like it. I mean, there's not a lot of verses.
Yeah,
just a few. So what do you guys think? Song of the summer?
Yeah. He's also supposedly 18, which I don't believe because he's like a big dude.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a lot of face tats.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if he got that when he's 16. He's like, Mom.
Right.
I really want to get these stitches on my face so I can become a rapper.
But I need you to sign off on it. I don't like that people under 18 can get tattoos.
Yeah, because
I always thought that was like when I was younger and like there was that, it would be like, oh, she has a tattoo. It's fine.
Right.
You know, and that
exactly.
Was like
your, she's legal because she has a tattoo. That's not out the window now.
It has gone out the window because parents are terrible parents.
Do you think it's terrible parents or is it the tattoo?
I think
that
if you're getting
down?
Your daughter a tattoo at 16, you might as well say, go ahead and fuck some 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds.
That's true. Yeah, they should be. There should be no age of consent if there's a tattoo involved. That's what you're saying, right?
I think a jury could. I could see them. Judging in your favor?
No, Jerry.
I also have no tattoos, and I think about the tattoos I wanted when I was 16, and I think I wanted like a scorpion.
Yeah.
And I think I wanted a Taz.
A Taz.
Yeah, I wanted a Tasmanian devil because like I had a baseball coach that had a Tasmanian devil.
You would
devil
look
tattoo.
So badass with both of those.
I wanted one on each pipe, man.
I'm gonna say this: a scorpion tattoo never goes out of style.
Uh-oh. I guess, yeah.
That's classic. Mm-hmm. It's like an anchor.
In Tasmania, it might be out of style now, but now it's almost like so ironic.
Right. Or I could just hipster. Get like hip-hop clothes tattooed on it, and then I could do like the 90s retro thing. You remember that when like the Looney Tunes had
I was getting, my first thought was that's like Mexican swap meet t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Have Taz and just get like a backwards hat tattooed on him. Tattoo fixed.
I don't know what it was about Taz that Mexican dudes really wanted to get him on their t-shirt.
Yeah.
What was your reason for wanting it? You a big fan?
No, one of my baseball coaches.
Really like Chuck Jones. Really big fan of his animations.
Right. No, one of my baseball coaches had like a Taz tattoo on his ankle. It was like at a baseball camp I went to, and he was really cool. He was like the cool coach.
Yeah.
And I just thought, yeah. I mean, I was like 12. And so I think that carried over to when I was like 16. And by the time I was like 18, 19, I was like, yeah, a Taz tattoo would be a really bad idea.
All right, we got Burnsy that we're going to get on.
Sure.
That buzz is killing me. Mr. Burns.
Hi.
Oh, hey. Oh, you're video Skyping me now.
Oh, did I video?
Yeah.
That means I have a boner.
You wear glasses now?
I do after I spent most of the day at the computer. I don't have to, but my eyes start crossing at the end of the day and it gets pretty bad.
You look so smart.
And I wore them to the UFC event I brought them to the UFC event because I was sitting so far away that I had to wear them just to watch, you know, what was going on the Jumbotron. But also in the back of my head, I was like, if I wear glasses, nobody will beat me up.
Did they think you were smarter? Do you seem more of like an important journalist when you're wearing glasses?
I could have been wearing a tank top and felt smarter than most of the people there.
Oh yeah, please. We haven't talked. Did we talk about this last time?
Yeah. What is a UFC event in Orlando like?
My God, man. I knew it was going to be bad, but it was like it was fun. I didn't really get to experience any of the, you know, the crowd. Actually, I had they stuck. I called it Media Misfit Reject Island is where they sat us. It wasn't the, you know, the cool important media tables that were down next to the octagon. Instead, we were up in a nosebleed section that they reserved for the media. But it's like a cool isolated section, so we don't have to rub elbows with the riffraff. And but we had like the row in front of us was a whole row of bros that I watched get gradually drunker the whole time, and they were yelling racist stuff and they were yelling sexist stuff. And one guy was so drunk, and you know we're far up, so nobody can hear them down there. But this one guy kept yelling every time the ring girls would take a lap. He kept yelling, "I love you, Brittany." And Brittany Palmer wasn't there, and I just didn't have the heart to tell him that he was yelling at the wrong girls. But
you figure you yell Brittany in Florida? Like, Florida, you got like a 50-50 chance,
right?
Exactly. But these guys were like they were betting each other on who would win each fight, and one of the guys in the group, I think it was like 10 or 11 guys. I mean, it was a whole row of friends. And one of the guys, every time they'd bet on the fighters, the guy would yell, "I'm not taking the brown one."
First of all, that's a terrible betting strategy.
You're not going to win.
Oh, it was horrible.
Because usually I've heard about the BATM strategy, or BATH strategy, which is bet against the honky, which generally, you know. 50.
Well, I think the only
maybe middleweight fight, you're in trouble, yeah. if it's a middleweight fight.
The only fight that I think the guy won with that strategy was the cowboy fight.
Yeah, that was a shocker. That came out of left field.
But these guys were also awesome because they were, you know, they're drinking beer the whole time. So I normally wouldn't be able to tell how much they were drinking because they were just getting hammered. But two of the dudes kept stacking their cups. Because they were sorority girls, apparently. And one of the, and I think this one guy who was like the drunkest, and he could barely talk by like, you know, the co-main event, and he had like six cups in his hand.
Did was there any fights in the crowd during the fight?
Not that I saw, but I think there was one like down to my left because I heard people like freaking out and whatever, and I saw security going a little crazy, but I couldn't really see anything except straight ahead. But I thought what was funniest was, you know, obviously you've got your pockets of Brazilian fans and Latin American fans throughout the crowd. So they would yell that one thing over and over. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to I don't even want to pretend to say what it is. But it's like basically like murder that guy or something in Portuguese. And
Ali Kumaye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it sounds so cool when they're all doing it, because they all do it like really quick. It's not like you don't hear it die out. They just know to do it like five times and stop.
Yeah.
And so they would do that, and then there was a pocket of bros to my right that would try to get the USA chant going.
Did it work?
As if that was the appropriate response to anything cultural.
Well, I mean, that's what we got. We don't have ole, ole, ole. We don't have Ali Pumaye. USA,
and that's,
USA.
And that's
what
depressing.
We got. What else do you say?
I don't know, but I would think that as fans of so many sports, we'd come up with something good to say.
We need like My Country Tis of Thee or something, just the whole crowd. Get them into that. Yeah, when we went to the first Anderson Silva Chael Sonnen fight in Oakland, one of the, I think the co-main was Dos Santos and Roy Nelson, And that was a great fight. And there, because Roy Nelson can take 100 million punches to the face and doesn't fall down. And so it was just.
Was that the night he came out to Fat, too?
I can't remember what he came out to. It seemed like right around that time he was coming out to Fat.
Yeah.
But then.
Amazing.
Dos Santos is just hitting him a million times in the face, like over the course of three rounds. And in like the middle of the second round, a huge fight in the stands broke out. And it was one of the best fights of the night. In the cage, but also like I didn't know where to look because I'm trying to decide whether I want to watch the fight in the stands or the fight in the cage, and I was distracted the whole time.
I thought the best thing I saw, and I think I told Vince about this, was after the fight I was waiting outside for Jessica Lobster Mobster, and so I was standing on the corner and I was watching all the people, and I was bone dry sober. I could have been wasted where they sat us. But like the UFC rules for media are no drinking or whatever. So I was, you know, a good boy and listened to them. But so I was watching all the people stumble by just completely hammered. And right behind me, there was a couple fighting. And it was like a typical 20-something white trash couple. And they were so perfectly Florida because the girl kept punching him in the shoulder. And all the while, both of them were smoking e-cigs. And I kept looking back at them, and I was, and the problem is I'm so terrible with trying to be nonchalant with my cell phone camera that like I've tried to take pictures of in random situations a few times, and like my flash will go off and I just look like the idiot trying to sneak a picture. So I wanted to do that, but I can't ever figure it out.
Yeah. Just pretend you're taking a selfie.
That's true.
Yeah. Cause everybody just takes selfies wherever.
And then, a couple of the Eagles brothers or friends or something, you know, Russian guys invited us to go party with them, but I knew that would just end up terrible.
Or not, or awesome.
Oh, it could have been awesome, but chances are I could be missing an arm and it end up in a Russian prison.
So you told me about, Michael Sam coming out and
yeah, I broke that story.
Right. You did break that story. You're the first to break. You got that picture of him kissing his boyfriend.
I was like, yo,
mushing cake in the sales.
Guess who's gay?
I can't remember what it was. Someone on Twitter was like, hey man, like I'm really tolerant of all this and I think it's great and I'm excited, but I really wish that people wouldn't associate like the gay thing with the cake mushing thing, because that had one thing had nothing to do with the other. And if someone's going to mush cake in someone else's face, like they deserve to be made fun of.
I didn't actually see the cake mushing.
Yeah. They like ate a cake and they like scooped up their fingers and like mushed in each other's face.
Whenever I see that at a wedding, I'm like, ugh.
I know. Exactly. Right. So it has nothing to do with the sexuality of people. So I loved
it. I thought it was like lame, straight, super lame, straight people.
Yeah. It was like that. But it was funny that was that person's lament where it's like, I don't want to make fun of it because then people are going to be like, oh, so what? You don't like gay people? It's like, no, no, no. It's the cake mushing thing.
I just
don't
like people wasting cake for comedic purposes.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just wrong. But, Bernsy, you said you had a list of professional athletes throughout history that you would like to out.
That's the thing. That was my point in wanting to discuss this tonight, is that, you know, Michael Sam's not the first openly gay professional, or at least not the first gay professional athlete. He might be, you know, open, out, and proud and all that, but there have been a lot of gay professional athletes over the years. And, you know, me being the hot goss expert, I know them all.
And you're drinking out of a dolphin, Miami Dolphins cup right now, which
I am.
Does give you extra sports credibility.
Hey. And you want to know something?
What's that?
Dan Marino, gay.
I knew it. Those Isotoner gloves commercials should have been a dead giveaway.
That's why he never won a Super Bowl.
13 years with his hands next to some guy's ass.
That's why he needed those gloves. Keep his hands soft for his center.
That's right. Like curly. Curly Mison Man.
Who else? What other prominent gay athletes do a lot of people not know about?
Let's do this. You name an athlete, and I'll tell you if he was gay or not.
You are the laziest list maker I've ever
heard. I want to make a fun game out of it.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Gay.
Okay, Steve Kerr.
Gay.
Pele.
Not gay.
Candy Bye. Maldonado.
Candy Maldonado. Gay.
Gary Player.
He was a man. His name... That was a terrible response.
Thank you.
He was a man,
okay,
who had sex with a lot of women. So there's no gay golfers.
Okay. That's good to know.
Christian Okoye.
Christian so gay.
How about Magic Johnson?
I'm afraid to talk about him right now.
I knew I was throwing you a curve there.
What about...
He seems to be a sensitive issue.
Yeah. A lot of high. I heard that he doesn't do a lot for minority communities.
That comment, I was... You know, I watched that sitting in my office by myself, and I sunk down in my chair like, oh my God, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, I was afraid that somebody was going to come up and knock on my window and be like, dude, you're watching this, you're racist too.
For all the people that I've heard, he acts so holy. I mean, he made love to every girl in every city in America, and he had AIDS. And when he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue and I prayed for him. I hoped he could live and be well. I didn't criticize him. I could have. Is he an example for children? You know, because he has money, he's able to treat himself. But Magic Johnson is irrelevant in this thing. He didn't do anything harmful to anybody, and I respect him and I admire him.
For having sex with every woman in every city with AIDS.
I love how he kept the no offense to the end of it.
You gotta weave that in there just so they know.
But I love the guy.
He's a man after PFT commenter's heart. No offense.
No offense taken.
Just watching a Donald Sterling interview, I have to look over both shoulders.
Yeah, it's hard to do. So you got a song in your corner this week.
Oh boy, do we have a song this week. This one is, this song doesn't count towards my typical, you know, new discoveries, the artists that I find and personally turn into stars. I am typically the star maker extraordinaire.
Right.
But today, this song comes to us from actual celebrities.
And who are?
Well, one is a gentleman you may have seen in the news. He spent, I don't know his real name because it doesn't matter anymore, but he spent more than $200,000 on plastic surgery to look like Justin Bieber.
Important.
And he looks nothing like Justin Bieber.
Weird how that works.
And then the other one is a girl who calls herself Kitty J. And she spent $25,000 to look like Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay.
And she looks nothing like Jennifer Lawrence.
Does she look like Justin Bieber?
That's a good question.
That would be irony.
My guess would be she looks more like Justin Bieber than Jennifer Lawrence.
Probably. But she, like, when I first watched this video, I didn't know that she had gotten the plastic surgery to look like Jennifer Lawrence. And I had to ask people what Jennifer she was supposed to be.
See, I think when you get plastic surgery to look like someone, you got to pick someone older, because plastic surgery can do a lot of things. It can't make you look like you're a 21-year-old.
Right.
You could get those.
What happens if the doctor could have made that guy look exactly like Justin Bieber? What does he do then?
Just fucking.
He fucking gives it to a bunch of idiots and lives on his fucking yacht for the rest of his life.
Because if that's the case, I'll do that.
Okay. And this is called The Plastics.
This is the name of their group is The Plastics.
Okay.
And the song is The Plastics. Oh. Which is like a huge pet peeve of mine. I can't stand when the band has a song named after the band.
Yeah.
You can go for the trifecta too if the album's named The Plastics.
I don't know if they have an album yet, but I'm thinking this is at right now, this is at 479,000 views.
It's probably going to be at 4 million by
tomorrow. A good band that did the self-titled trifecta was Black Sabbath.
The song. Oh yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
No. Please, God help me. Who?
I think Green Day did it too.
Green Day had a song called Green Day before they were called Green Day, and then they changed their name to Green Day.
But that song wasn't that song also on their first EP, Green Day?
I don't know.
I don't remember because I was really high back then. So yeah. Yes, I'm right.
All right. This is the plastics.
This is the plastics.
Are you one of the boring people
who don't want to be beautiful?
Because everyone can be beautiful when you're made of plastic.
That's true.
Yeah. By the way, the ad on this YouTube video is Tablet Mag, and it says Jewish news and ideas not set in stone.
They should say it is set in stone.
It's well targeted,
right?
Yeah.
Just like Moses intended.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the plastics.
I don't know. He kind of looks like Justin Bieber. She doesn't look any. In that he looks like an effeminate man.
As Jen.
Toby S as Justin.
And Venus T as Queen M.
Okay, who's Queen M?
I think that's just a person who's with them.
That doesn't seem very appropriate.
There's terms that I don't feel comfortable throwing out there because I never know if I'm saying something wrong or not, but I think that's just a drag queen that hangs out with them.
Okay.
A believer from day one, couldn't take what age had done. Watched Justin's videos, imitated how he'd pose. Jealous of his perfect face, wished I could take his place. Docs made my dream come true, now I'm Justin number two.
My name is Kitty J, you know I'm your flavor.
It's bad when you can't talk like in a normal speaking voice without being auto-tuned.
Right, or she's got like the Kesha thing where it's like not even auto-tune can cover up just like her voice. She just doesn't sound, she does not have a voice that should be doing things like this.
Hey, you know Kesha has like 160 IQ.
She's like one of the smartest people in the world.
She also fucked a ghost.
That's true.
I will bring this up on the broadcast every single time we talk about Kesha. She fucked a ghost.
She writes her songs by dangling her boobs against piano keys.
You know, the ghosts, it shows. The ghosts only visit people at a certain level of intelligence, and there's a reason they came to Kesha. She's really smart.
Right. I heard you're smart. I'm going to put my ghost boner in you.
Critics say the odds are ever in my favor. Breasts now of silicone, sculpted cheeks, sculpted nose. So, of course, I look like Jen. She's a perfect specimen.
That's a great rhyme.
The rhyme game is strong.
Justin, what do you think of this video?
Who's the tranny right there?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That is inflammatory language.
Sorry.
She's a drag queen. Please.
We are the plastics. Living a life that sounds elastic. We are.
I like how they have a random shot of the engineer in the studio. It was just like some 12-year-old kid.
It doesn't even sound like they recorded this against a beat. Like, you know, like It's So Cold in the D, where by the end of the song, they're completely off of the beat. That's what this sounds like, where they didn't even record it with like a backbeat.
Is that what happened, where they just recorded it separately and then some guy tried to add a beat to it later?
I think so. That's my guess.
I want to hear the unedited track of that. Sort of like Andy Serkis. I want to see him when the whole movie where he's just still in the...
With the ping pong ball outfit?
He's still in the outfit.
Right.
Fantastic. If you want to be a slip, our dog's worth your magic. If you want to have a good time. If you've got too much Botox, you can't
smile. So is this an ad for their plastic surgeon? I don't get it.
Was that lyric just, if you have too much Botox, you can't smile? So it's kind of like also a warning.
It's a cautionary tale.
We are, we are the
They're taking their look really far. They got their beauty right on par. This plastic gang is humming bars while looking like their favorite stars. They got lots.
Yeah, all right, that's good. I think I'm good with that one.
I'm sad. You've made me sad.
Well, that's what the point of it was. You know, it had an emotional impact. That was the point of that video. Well,
they did touch me.
Yeah.
You know what the Justin Bieber guy actually looks like to me, though? Like the way that he can't really move his mouth that much because his cheeks are so just stretched and mushed.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of the South Park family that has butts for heads.
But we did have, you know, the most important video probably since the Zapruder film came out this week.
Oh my God.
And that's Froggy Fresh, Frozen Stolen Bikes 2.
It's an absolute masterpiece.
I'm going to say it. I think they've outdid The Lonely Island at this point.
I think they've outdone Stolen Bikes 1.
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Not many. I mean, the sequel is never typically better than the original. And right. In this case, this is definitely a case for that.
It's a pretty legit jam, too. I like how the intro lasts a minute 40.
It has been a whole year since our box got stolen. I ran that go-kart into a telephone pole. We hated James, but this has made us hate more. Cause for the last year, we've been riding skateboards. Friggin' skateboard, how would rather walk? Do I look like Tony Hawk?
No.
That's why I thought. Do I look like Rob Dyrdek?
No.
Thank God. Do I look like Brad Pitt?
No.
Are you sure? We knew exactly where James hid the box at. They were stashed in his shed right out back. We threw on our bulletproof vests and our snapbacks. Then we plotted our attack and ate snack packs. I told Mike, grab the slingshot. Take this sock and fill it with about 16 rocks. Meet me at the spot in about 10 minutes. And Mike, don't forget the spinach. Hey, you stop, freeze. Hands in the air, get down on your knees. Don't make us have to fight back. Cause you won't really like that. We just want our bikes back. Hey, you stop.
This whole thing makes me mad because it's like so perfect on every level. Like the shots are good. The beats are good. The rhyme is like perfect.
The beat's really good.
Yeah.
And the video is amazingly made too.
Mm-hmm.
Freeze! Hands in the air, get down on your knees. Don't make us have to fight back. Cause you won't really like that. We just want our bikes back. Me and Mike took off towards the shed. Wow. Visions of pedal bikes danced in our heads all through the town. Kids lined the streets.
I think visions of pedal bikes danced in our heads might be the best line of that song.
And wait to see James get beat. We got to the shed and we kicked down the door. Two guards came out and they both had swords. But my homeboy Mike was there to save the day. He fired two rocks and he blew them away. But hold up, cause it wasn't.
He just has a nemesis in all of his songs.
James.
Yeah.
James.
I mean, that's good storytelling.
Yeah. Why is James crying?
Like, how many other bands would be improved if they just had one all-purpose nemesis in all their songs?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of,
but think about the arc of James and his evolution as the antagonist. That he started as just a dude who got dunked on,
and that was like a crime lord.
He took getting dunked on so poorly that he's now evolved into a citywide bike thief who gets paid in candy.
Well, that is his version of getting the Joker falling into acid. You know, like that is his super villain origin story. He got dunked on, mm-hmm. and he just became this sort of grotesque monster who steals bikes so he can eat candy.
It's amazing what motivates us.
Yeah.
Over yet, James snuck up and he punched me in the head. Grabbed my chair and he punched him in the eyebrow. He said, I'm keeping all the bikes because they're mine now. We were losing bad and we were getting laughed at. But then Mike pulled something out of his backpack. Of course, that old can of spinach. I looked at James and said, you're finished. Hey, you stop, freeze. Hands in the air, get down on your knees.
So is Froggy Fresh just like 5 years older than everybody that he hangs out with?
Yeah, I don't know. I was wondering
Froggy Fresh
too.
Looks like he's about 22, and then like these guys, the neighborhood kids are like 14.
They're all in the throes of puberty.
Yeah. I hope Mike never gets his braces off.
It's right. Just, no, he needs those.
Yeah.
He's like Sex Man.
Him and Sex Man, neither of them will answer my emails about coming on the podcast.
Fucking terrible.
Someday. If any of you guys listeners
There's
out
no
there.
No justice in this world.
I know. If any of you guys know Froggy Fresh personally. Would love to talk to him.
Have you heard his story, by the way?
No. Does he have a story?
He does. And I actually don't want to tell you, because the thing is that when I, like, you know, when you talk about Froggy Fresh so much and you get those people out there who are like, no way, this guy is so clueless and writing these terrible rap songs or whatever, we have to expose him, because that, you know, that's how the internet is.
First of all, he's been exposed. Rap songs.
Remember, he used to be Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Tosh.
Then he claimed that Krispy Kreme sued him, or tried to sue him for using the name, and then that's when he became Froggy Fresh. But people think that it was because they started figuring out who he was, and there's just a lot to him. And you know, it doesn't help to know it. Like, you want to believe that This is Froggy Fresh, a kid who just wants his bike back and is becoming a rapper along the way.
Man, if he just invented this persona as a persona for these songs, I don't care. That's a brilliant invention.
Yeah.
I don't need to believe that he's a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
He's my hero.
Don't make us have to fight back, because you won't really like that. We just want our bikes back. Hey, you, stop, breathe, hands in the air, get down.
All right, Burnsy.
What I'd like to know about James, though, that we're introduced to in this song that we haven't learned in any other songs, is that he lives with an older man that they don't know anything about. Why does James live with an older man?
That's right.
I bet that's going to end up being somebody very important and crucial in Froggy Fresh's story.
In the Froggy Fresh mythos.
I'm as interested in this gang as I am in like Game of Thrones. Like where it's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. Where's it going to go from here?
God, if Froggy Fresh got his own TV show, that would be incredible.
So, Justin, I noticed that you have one of those Nike, what are they called? Fuel bands?
Fuel band.
So what do you do with that? Do you just like walk around the office and it tells you how many calories you're burning?
more at night when I'm just staring at myself in the mirror and just being disgusted with myself. I can actually look up on an app and be like, oh, it's because I don't move all day.
So it tells you how many calories you've burned like all day?
Or haven't burned, yes. Or, you know, it's a metric to see how much you're moving around.
But you talk with your hands a lot. Do you think that's just like a false positive? Like we're like, oh man, this guy's flailing around. He must be doing some hard exercise.
The highest I ever got, which included beating my half marathon that I ran, was at a wedding when I got really blacked out. My wife was enraged at me, and I just flailed and gesticulated on the dance floor. I had like a 10,000 fuel points, and I got all these like little awards.
From the wedding or from the from Nike? Do they offer you a sponsorship
for the wedding?
Like, holy shit! Look at this guy. Must be running an Ironman right now.
So you'd have to get blacked out again to replicate that amazing workout.
This man just ran 12 marathons.
Didn't they discontinue those?
Yep.
They did because they're partnering with Apple.
Oh.
Yeah, Apple. They'll keep running the software, but new ones, nope, you're out of luck.
So can you sell that for a bunch of money then?
It's vintage now, yeah.
Nice.
It's a collector's item.
Hipsters are going to wear them.
I had one, and I used to tell people after I got it, and I would wear it everywhere. And Grant, keep in mind, I met my daily goals by sitting at a bar and, you know, lifting a beer every 2 seconds. But I used to tell people that it motivated me to have those point goals like that. But then the problem with that is when you stop paying attention to it and you start seeing that you don't make your shitty little goals each day, it's like the most depressing thing in the world.
Do you set the goals yourself, or do they?
Yes.
Okay.
And I like some people had their goals, their daily goals, like 10,000. I had mine at like 3,000.
That's what mine is.
3,000 calories?
No, like 3,000, whatever their fictitious point scoring system
what are they
is.
Called?
Fuel points, yeah. Fuel
Which
points.
Is so odd because they count calories. You could make calories a goal or steps.
Yeah.
But they make you make Nike fuel points the goal, which is an arbitrary. Yep.
Are they trying to like just make it proprietary so you can't?
Yes.
It's like Bitcoins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because most of the other competitive products on the market are just pedometers where it counts how many steps you're taking. Mm-hmm. So that's the only one that they're like, oh, we're doing fuel points. You don't really know what it is, but you want to hit it.
Creating their own exercise currency.
Cryptocurrency,
yeah.
Some might even say.
Sort of sounds like meal points. You trade them in at the end of the semester. Get a lava lamp.
Or camel cash or whatever else you want to.
The other night, my wife was like, what are you doing over there? And I was really close to hitting my goal, and I was just shaking it in my hand.
What comes out? Is it like the end of a video game where there's like a victory screen or something?
Yeah.
You get your
action. It does a little light show, right?
Yes, like, yep. It's like, goal. Yeah, you get really excited about it.
I think that's like the yuppiest thing that I've seen since the holster for your cell phone.
I remember. Wow. So you hit your goal today.
I did walking over here.
Oh man.
Good times. And it resets at midnight, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember if I was out at midnight, I'd be like, sweet, I can get a head start.
You had one too?
On tomorrow, yeah. So I'd be like, no, fuck the taxi. I'm going to walk home. So I'm going to wake up. I already have a ton of points.
Nice.
Now I don't have to do shit all day.
Yep.
You know, Brendan's getting married unless he has a really huge hemorrhoid.
That's so a pretty still, common trade-off, I think.
It's still up in the air. We'll see. Yeah. Fingers crossed for the next 2 months.
Have you ever had a hemorrhoid?
No, I never have.
Torio, you've had one, right?
I've experienced it.
Okay.
It's a
looking all uncomfortable. Like, it's a
dark.
Talk about
it was a dark point in my life.
All right.
I feel like at that point in your life when, because you don't understand what it is. I didn't understand what it was, and then you're like, "How graphic do you want to get with this? How bad was it?"
I posted pictures of the guy's blood clot on the post.
Yeah,
last
I mean that's a thing. Like, you're like, I need to figure. You can't look at your asshole, so you're like taking a selfie of your ass because you need to know how bad this looks.
Yeah.
And that's the lowest point of my life.
So, well, Patrick, I mean, Patrick luckily had a fiance, and he's like, honey, I need you to look in my asshole.
That
right
would
now.
Be worse.
You think?
I think so. I mean, I guess it's a good test right
before
your wedding.
How about telling every fucking person you invited to your wedding that it's canceled because you have a hemorrhoid? Yeah.
Well, you have to do that to get some of your money back on that, you know,
on the
shuttle,
deposit, yeah.
On the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think one of the main benefits of monogamy is when you have, you know, you need something in your ass that somebody has to look at and tell you if it looks bad or not. You got that weird pimple like right in the middle of your back that you can't reach.
Yeah. Remember there was that part when Bobby and Whitney had the reality show and he was talking about, yo, yeah, this one time I had to dig dookie bubbles out Whitney's ass.
Yeah, that's right.
What does that mean?
I don't know exactly what that means.
I think she was constipated and he had to pull poop out of her butt like a dog.
Yeah. I think that's basically what he was talking
true
about.
True love, man.
It really is. You know, and
he called them dookie bubbles, though. I'll never forget that.
Well, he's an artist.
Yeah.
You needed something that you can rhyme with. You can create a rhyme scheme right around that, dookie bubbles. But sometimes I bring up the thing about popping back sits with couples, and they're like, ew, I would never do that.
My fiance is all about.
Oh, back sits. I don't think I could date a person that wouldn't take care of a back pimple or two.
Actually, to the point where, like, if there's one that's reachable, like on the shoulder, and she sees me reaching for it, she'd be like, "No, no, no!" Like, that's her domain.
Mm-hmm. I do that too.
She enjoys.
I would go to pop one too, and even the ex girlfriends have tried to shoo me away. I'm like, "No, no, I got this."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Bernsey, how do you feel about body acne?
I'm not gonna lie, and I know this is gonna reduce my standing with all the female Frogcast listeners out there, but I get excited every once in a while if I get like one good zit and just go squirt.
Oh yeah, they have that website where they're it's the whole website is just videos of people with giant boils.
Oh, those are
that's horrible. Yeah, those when they lance them and then squeeze
it out
like toothpaste.
How bad it smells. And I'm like, I want to know, but I don't want to know.
There's a weird thing.
I'm like grossed out, but I can't stop watching. Yeah.
See, I'm the opposite where it's like if you're in person and you're seeing it, it's you're like, whoa, you know. But like for some reason, the video, you're like some of the really bad ones.
Really,
make you want to throw up.
I don't know what it is. There's just something incredibly cathartic about watching pus leave someone's body.
There was a great one of a guy we played rugby with. Mm-hmm. His nickname was Critter. And there's like, it's like
the one that works
for David Cho. Yeah. There was like,
by the way, Bernsey, this guy that we played rugby with, that video that David Cho got in trouble with, where he's on his podcast talking about how he like got blown by the masseuse.
Okay, yeah.
That Jezebel got. That's our friends in that.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
So anyway, for a long time, it may be surpassed now, but for a long time, if you just like searched YouTube for, I wish I could remember what it was. It was like, if you just like searched YouTube for back zit, it was like the number one result. And they're like in someone's backyard in Santa Barbara, like getting hammered. And there's just like full on geyser action from this pimple.
I mean, if you have a really big one that's like, you know, anomalous, that's just that you can't reach, that's been there for a long time, I think you sort of owe it to the society to put to make a video of it.
Sure.
I'm kind of disappointed I've never had anything big enough to where it would warrant a video.
Yeah.
I'm rather glad that I've never had that happen, to be honest.
That's
shower less.
That's true.
You can get there.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Roll around and shit.
Mm-hmm. I think you just have to not notice it. I feel like mine start hurting once before they even get to the dime size.
What if we could invent a lotion that you rub on like one spot of your back and it grows like a giant zit for you?
That seems like something that would be up our alley.
Or is that cheating?
It is. Well, but so was when you ate oatmeal soap so you could have really bad farts.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
That's a thing that happens.
Brendan once ate an entire bar of oatmeal soap just because he heard it would give you really bad farts.
Did it?
It did, but what I had heard was that it gave really loud, explosive farts, but it gave me just like the low burny kind that like when you push them out, it's just kind of like.
And then they don't give you that nice trumpeting effect.
No trumpet effect. Just kind of like. And it just like smelled
spoke
like fucking,
on the way out.
Yeah, just yeah, just like yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, just like an old man sighing, and it smelled like an old man sighing too.
He got halitosis, but
yeah.
Why wouldn't you just use like Benefiber or something?
I don't know. I was young.
I mean, that's like a rocket launcher.
Was this hand like a bar of soap or it was like
this,
soap?
It was like this natural oatmeal soap that you could get at Whole Foods.
But what was the consistency of it? Is my question.
It was bar soap.
It was a bar of soap.
Yeah. I shaved it
by
onto
the way,
my
sorry
raisin
about the sirens,
brand.
Listeners. I had to leave the windows open because it's really hot.
I shaved it onto my raisin bran. I took a knife and shaved it. I'm not joking. I did this.
I know you're not, so I'm laughing. Did it taste really bad?
It tasted horrible. I suffer for my art, okay? I suffer for my fart.
Oh.
No.
What wow. made you decide?
I wish I was on the soundboard for that one.
Raisin bran was that's the way. I'm going to mix it with milk.
I was like 25 and single, and so that was like.
Hold
you
on,
know,
say I suffered my fart again.
I suffer for my fart. That's right.
Okay, sorry.
That was painful.
Ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I was like single, so it was like, well, I can either shave this into some raisin bran crunch, or maybe a jar or a can of Progresso minestrone. Those were pretty much my options.
I still think you chose wrong.
I don't know. I mean, the thing about soup, when you do take something bad, you kind of want to take it down as a solid.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when you put hot sauce into a soup, you feel it more because it's all dissipated. You mm-hmm. don't get the concentrated bursts that just go down. You sort of have to
I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of thought that went into this.
Yeah.
Well, you shaved it, so there was some thought.
Yeah.
The fact that you grated it.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
By the way, I don't know. Did you guys all see the article about the guy from... Jim Koch from Sam Adams, where he did some Vanity Fair interview where he was like, this is how you can drink all night and not get that drunk. And his recipe, I don't know what you want to call it, he suggested that you take a teaspoon of yeast for every beer you're going to drink before you go out drinking. I tried that. By the way, do you know how much a fucking teaspoon of yeast is? That's like 3 loaves of bread worth of yeast.
Really?
It's a lot of yeast.
Are you sure
yeast.
You weren't doing tablespoons?
No, I was doing teaspoons. It's a lot of
did
yeast.
Did it work?
No, it didn't work. And I don't know, maybe it worked. All I could really notice was, first of all, yeast tastes so bad that there's really nothing that can disguise yeast. He's like, oh yeah, just stir it into yogurt. No. I mean, first of all, 6 teaspoons of yeast. Think about how much yeast
that
is.
Yeah, that's a lot of yeast.
That's like... I mean, well, that's also, like a shot glass full of yeast, or if not more.
It's not good for you.
No, it can't be,
yeah,
right?
Right. It's a yeah.
So I try to stir it into some yogurt, and it just you know it tastes like feet.
Mm.
And you pretty much just spend the rest of the night bloated and farting and feeling disgusting. So don't try that. I guess
why wouldn't
would be
you
my
just
message.
Want to get drunk?
I mean, sometimes I like to drink for.
Like if you're trying to get someone, I don't know, like if you want to get
somebody drunk. I know where you're going with that.
Not a woman.
Not so much get somebody drunk, but if you just want to stay at the bar all night while you're drinking.
Or if you're like, if you're working, like if you're on a business.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed I've gotten older. It's like that third beer at happy hour, which used to just be the warm up. I'm now like, oh man, I'm kind of shit faced.
Time to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get that on a certain level.
I think
I'm such a lightweight now. It sucks.
I think you just have to maintain, a steady drunkenness throughout the week, or a steady 2 or 3 beers every night. That's my theory.
Just conditioning.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but
could have fooled me.
Pretty much, though.
The way I see it, that's the best way to go.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Do you know Brendan's getting married?
I heard about that.
Are you getting married?
Yeah.
Anytime
in July.
Soon?
Was this an arranged marriage?
Yes.
What was the dowry?
Like 9 goats.
A herd of camels.
Yeah.
I still want to know about more about Oakhurst Comedy.
Oakhurst Comedy. Oh, well, Oakhurst Comedy, there is no Oakhurst Comedy. You okay. got to drive to Fresno.
Oh, so it was all the type bombs.
I put up a show in Bass Lake. We did a monthly show up there at a resort.
How was it?
It was awesome. It was fun. Yeah. We just brought out, like, you know, SF and LA headline. I mean, there's not...
Fancy.
There's not a big comedy scene in Fresno, as you right. know.
But what about Bass Lake? Were people just excited?
Bass Lake's huge.
They're just excited to see comedy?
Yeah, you know, we'd get like 100 people, which is like the whole town.
It's funny that...
There's nothing to do there.
Small towns, you get a lot more people out because it's just like...
It's the one thing that's happening.
Yeah. Right.
And then when the bowling alley closed, and then it was like, now we're it.
Standing room only.
We are the only entertainment. Because there's, you know, there's tons of stuff to do during the day. You're, you know, there's a lake and there's
bass.
Yosemite.
It's bass in the lake.
And lake and bass.
They're pretty strict on that lake. You can't, you only like can drive the boats one way or something. There's like.
You're supposed to, it looks small. Yeah. So you're supposed to like go in a circle.
That doesn't create like a big whirlpool in the middle with everybody sweet. Going the same direction.
If the fish were just stuck, just being this current of.
We used to try to do that in my above ground pool.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, get you
current,
can do it.
Get the current going. It's pretty cool. And you just float around,
like an endless, like a lazy river.
Right. Exactly.
You have an above ground pool?
I did growing up.
Oh,
like I said,
well, you're in Fresno. You have to. Yeah.
Exactly.
One in Fresias.
Man, not everybody can afford these fancy pools built into the cement. That was called a built-in pool. It had.
Well, and it's good because you can travel with your pool if you have to.
Right, right.
You can just pack it
in
up.
In a pinch. You put it on a flatbed.
We're moving to Bakersfield. Put the pool in the truck.
Did you happen to see that video of the kid that got saved from a dog attack by his cat?
Oh, I didn't get a chance to watch that.
I saw it. I didn't watch it either.
You saw that, right, Bernsey?
I didn't want to like a cat, I think was why I didn't watch it.
Well, it's funny because it took place in Bakersfield, and there's like 4 angles of this all happening where like the dog sees the kid. The kid's riding like a big wheel, and the dog sort of comes over from the neighbors, and he starts to check it out, and he sees the kid on a big wheel, and then he runs up, and he attacks the kid, and he's shaking him around, and then the cat just sort of comes out of nowhere and scares the dog off. But I think it really said a lot about Bakersfield. Like one, there's random dogs just roaming the neighborhood looking
absolutely.
For people to bite.
Yeah.
Two, you have like multiple angles from a security camera at your house. And three, you know, the parents aren't around as much as the cats are.
Mm-hmm.
The cats do most of the parenting.
Yep.
Bernsey knows all about that because he's Floridian. What is the Florida of Florida?
Basically every community surrounding where I live right now.
Really?
Central Florida we don't count the panhandle very much because that's more of like Alabama, Florida.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't you think the panhandle isn't the Florida of Florida?
Panhandle, it has some crazy shit going on up there, but that's like real redneck action up there. Central Florida is where all the crazy happens.
Yeah, I knew a guy, his first initial was J, and he was from Chieftain, Florida, which just like, that just sounds, I feel like that it's evocative of a lot of things. Chieftain, Florida. And his nickname was Trailer J.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So
I wish my nickname was Trailer J.
I wish I had a cool Florida nickname like that now.
So what do you think is the most Florida thing that you've ever seen living in Florida?
I've seen 2 homeless guys get into a fight before because one was pissing on the other.
Yes.
And that's one of those situations where I just stand there and watch because what are they going to do? Stop fighting each other to come beat me up?
Yeah.
Then there was one time I was sitting at some tables outside of a friend's bar with a couple girls because, you know, and there was this like group of just white trash, probably methy fellows that was over at the bus stop across the street. And so they wanted to show off for the girls I was with and just the other girls that were at the bar and sitting outside and whatnot. So they started climbing the light poles and one of the guys got up to the top of the light pole and he was like hanging like a monkey with his legs basically. And you know, cause a girl sees this and she's like, well, put your dick inside me, please. and then he fell and cracked his head on the ground We all laughed. Nobody helped him. Nobody called an ambulance or anything. We all laughed.
Oh,
To be fair to Florida, speaking of hobos, pissing on each other. The guy that was just here once woke up in detox. You get thrown in the, you know, in the drunk tank, and when he woke up, there was two homeless guys fighting because one was trying to take a shit in the communal toilet of the detox cell, and the other one thought he could piss between the other one's legs into the toilet while the first one was shitting, which I've always considered doing. I mean, I've always thought about someone doing that. I mean, not in sort of a real way, but I thought about the idea of...
Like, you could do that.
Yeah.
It's feasible.
Feasible.
Yeah.
Guy was just a genius.
And done.
Yeah. It's fucked the out now.
Smartest homeless guy of all time.
Yeah.
I've always thought that, you know, I think people always talk about their city's homeless people like trophies, basically. You know, like, we have the craziest homeless people. No, we have the crazy, and then New York jumps in, and then, you know, they think they have the craziest homeless people, even though they send all their fucking homeless people to Florida on buses, by the way.
Yep.
But, I went to...
Do they really?
I've only been to Baltimore one time in my life, and we were driving into Baltimore, and we stopped at a red light, and I just happened to turn and look, and there was a bus stop right there, like one of those little covered bus stops, and there was a homeless dude sitting on the bench, and then a homeless dude standing on the bench, and the homeless dude standing on the bench was fucking the homeless dude sitting on the bench in the face. I mean, just going to town on him, and he had the biggest smile on his face.
Well, as you do.
And I was like, you know, that's got to be the peak of happiness right there.
Well, Brendan saw two homeless people fingering each other while rolling down a grass hill.
Yeah. Just so you know, it was also like the hottest day in like San Francisco history. It was like 105, which if it gets above 80 degrees here, that's like a big thing. And so they were both in their underwear, and the one guy was just wearing like white Y-front jockey shorts with a gigantic shit stain on the back, and he kept rolling over onto his stomach, and then the flies would congregate on the shit stain, like this cluster of flies.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But were they actually rolling down the hill?
Yeah, it was a hill in Dolores Park, and
because I think about that, and all I can think of is like so happy together playing in the background.
Yeah, so like, kind of, yeah. But they were also like on a lot of drugs. So just,
well, that's the story. That's like the story that just came out of Utah last week with there was a wedding going on in a church on a Saturday, and as they were going in and out of the church, there was a homeless couple having sex on the lawn of the church.
Oh yeah.
He was going down on her.
He was going down on her, yeah.
That's right, yeah. And then the cops had to pull him apart because he wouldn't stop.
This was two guys. And they were sticking their hands in each other's butts.
Two guys is more romantic, obviously.
Yeah. Two guys fingering each other, rolling down a grass hill.
Yep.
So happy together.
Something tells me I'm into something good.
You just picture a rom-com montage. Just rolling and rolling.
I feel good.
It really works with any music.
Guile's music from Street Fighter.
I thought you were going to say Jay Giles Band.
Angel is a centerfold.
Na 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 na.
Maybe some Ain't Seen Nothing Yet by Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Oh, that's classic. Works with anything. Burnsy, I got to let you go because I got to get Ben on. He just woke up and he's going to tell us a little bit about Malaysia.
Well, that's good. I need to go to sleep.
Cool, man.
All right.
Keep on keeping on.
Hey, guys. I love you.
Love you, too.
Love you, too, Burnsy.
Bye-bye.
I want to know more about your life story. I mean, all I know so far is that
you did
some stuff in Oakhurst and you had a hemorrhoid once.
I had a thing get taken off of Twitter today. Did you know that could happen?
What do you mean?
I got tweets taken away. All right. Like okay, so one tweet I had like I made a BP joke because that's still relevant.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I had the BP logo and then I was like, oh, I like their new motto, and it was, "Are you still mad, bro?" You know, like just this little thing. And then I had like some other tweets about other stuff. Not that I really tweet that much. And then they took down the BP tweet, which is fair. Like it's a logo that's not mine.
I've never heard of them doing that before.
But then they took down all my other tweets since. Like, you know, like in college football, if you get like banned, they take away everything while you're at it. So they took all.
We're going to retroactively.
Yeah, they
like,
retroactively
take away your
took
wins.
Away all my tweets from the last like 3 days. And I felt like after it happened, like kind of like I was yelled at
school.
How many
followers do you have?
Like 4,000.
That's, yeah.
That's a pretty good amount.
Yeah, I guess that's enough to
upset them.
Yeah, it's amazing that they're on that fast. They must have a really good BP lobby. Just checking Twitter.
Well, it's also kind of like, who cares about BP?
Yeah,
also, we are still mad at them, right?
Yeah, like, I would hope.
Yeah, the answer to that question is yes. We are still mad, bro.
Hi, Ben.
Is this the past?
Yes, it is. We're across around the other side of that dateline.
We make a lot of topical jokes.
You're yesterday. What's up, yesterday?
Hey.
How's it going, everybody?
Good morning. We're just opening Gangnam Style.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because we're in the past.
What's going on?
It's Friday, Friday.
Is Obama still in charge? What's the deal with that guy?
Where's the plane, Mr. Obama?
Yeah, did you go over there to find the plane? Did you find it yet?
I have not found the plane. I'm thinking about skipping straight over to Benghazi because that just seems like, you know, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, figure out what really happened over there.
What's going on the Frogcast this week?
This week we really it's pretty much the worst Frogcast that we've ever done.
I already think I had a post-mortem. Lot to do with that.
Fresh off of Frogcast 200, which re-changed podcasting after 30 years, we're back in the dumps, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, some weeks you can't get it together and watch the same movie, and so, you know.
That angers you so much.
No, it doesn't anger me. I just, you know, I like to have topics. We talked about Donald Sterling. That was a good time.
I know. It sucks, too. I was totally prepared to talk about True Romance.
Yeah. Sorry.
I've seen that movie a zillion times. I love it.
It's great.
It's a great movie.
Ben, have you seen it?
I have seen True Romance.
What do you think about True Romance while you're in Malaysia?
That's such a great movie.
What's the Malaysian perspective on it?
It's weird. Every city I go to, they have a 20th anniversary party. It's huge over here.
It's crazy.
I enjoyed it, and unlike Vince, I did like the soundtrack a lot.
Bum 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 bum.
Yeah. Bum 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 bum.
I disagree with you, Vince. I love that song. I think that Hans Zimmer score. I think it's great. It's sort of weird, but it just finds a way to work.
Yeah, I mean the whole movie works because it's so weird. So yeah, it's possibly true.
Miller High Life used that. The whole movie works because
Gary Oldman. So that's pretty much Gary Oldman and Brad Pitt are why they didn't each win Oscars for that. I'll never know.
Yeah,
you must have thought it was White Boy Day.
Yeah, come on.
At True Romance Fest, that guy just had to keep saying that over and over.
Right.
It's like, nah, it ain't White Boy Day.
Yeah.
All right, Ben.
At least he's not quite as recognized as the dude from The Wire who has to just say shit all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they also had the guy who was working at the burger stand whose only line in the movie was, two chili cheeseburgers? That guy was cool, Saeed. But Ben, seriously, what's Malaysia like? What have you learned so far?
I haven't learned a whole lot. I've only been in Langkawi, which is an island. I'm going to Kuala Lumpur, flying out there in a few hours. So I'll see live the big city life. Haven't learned a word of Malaysian because they all speak enough English to get around. Just been scootering around. There's a lot of Muslims here. So, you know, I'm sure it's just a huge terrorist hotbed, probably taking down planes left and right.
So is this sort of your, like, drink, pray, love kind of trip? Like, have you gone on a vision quest? Have you learned a lot about yourself?
I'm trying to. I have not been doing a lot of praying or loving, unfortunately. The backpackers on this in this side of the world aren't as plentiful as some other. If you want a more backpacker populated area, you should go to different parts of Thailand. But yeah, you know, maybe I should start praying. I don't know. Is there which God would you recommend I pray to?
I don't know. I was watching that Vice piece on Texas. They're
Oh my god. A little heads up, people. That's not going to work. FYI.
Well, that's the God that's going to end the drought. So I think that's the one you got to go with.
Oh man!
Or maybe try a different God. That way we have all the bases covered.
I saw that one. Thank God for illegal downloads because I've been keeping up on Game of Thrones, Silicon Valley, and Vice. But man, those
How can you go on a journey of self-discovery in Asia if you're still watching all your favorite TV shows?
That is part of the self-discovery, is watching the best TV. They don't have good TV over here, and they also don't have good music either, it turns out.
Really? What are a lot of the music? They don't have Brick in Your Face by Stitches? That's a pretty good song.
No.
That song is hot.
It's hot. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, you wouldn't be.
Yes, and I'm not. You're correct. The praying for rain. Man. I mean, I guess if God does control the weather, you just have pray long enough and eventually he turns the faucet on. Like, is that how it works?
I think what you do is you get two towns that have a drought and one of them prays to Jesus and another one prays to, Allah or something. And that way you sort of have the control group. Whichever one gets water first, their God wins.
Interesting. I mean, isn't there probably some sort of rain god?
Well, depends what. I mean,
like rain specific, I mean.
For Christians, like, the rain god is the same as like the fish sandwich god.
If they thought about it more, he'd probably delegate that out. You think God really does everything? Like, he, at this point, he's probably.
He did. He did.
He's the CEO that's been in charge for thousands. Well, for what? How old's the Earth? 5,000 years?
He's a notorious micromanager. He executive produced that Ja Rule movie. I mean, he used to outsource his winemaking to Jesus, and Jesus would handle the wine and fish sandwiches. But then at a certain point, he fired Jesus.
Well, there was all the controversy about the farm-raised fish.
Right. Yeah. You can't have the farm-raised fish because then sometimes, you know, they get weird diseases and they go back out with the other fish.
Not rich enough in omega-3s.
Right.
Yeah, they get a third eye sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not as healthy. But I just would think at this point he probably delegates out the weather. That would be – I would have to think that.
He probably doesn't do much at all anymore, right? Like J.J. Abrams just leaving.
Right.
Lost.
Well, I mean, once you're big enough.
Yeah, it's like –
like if you got one restaurant, you got to be at the restaurant every day. Yeah. But if you got five,
he's working on hotter planets now, like new planets.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's franchising out. He's got one. He's got one Earth in Qatar. Yeah.
Right, which makes sense because now we're discovering all these Earth-like planets.
Mm-hmm.
So he's moved on.
Got a franchise.
Yeah, he's franchising.
Got to make sure this.
God's taking page out of the Planet Hollywood playbook. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it works out.
Do you think those were built more recently? Like he's like, you know what? I'm kind of bored. I'm going to govern and rule some other planets. Or were those all created at the same time?
Yeah, it's like a vaguely Mediterranean motif.
His plan all along with Earth was that it needed to be scalable so that I could, you could take this concept to other places.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to make sure it works. And since we're close to destroying it, he's like, I better start have some other people to rule over.
Yeah, bad clientele. Starts to ruin it.
It's all about locally sourced ingredients, relatively speaking.
Right.
I do love Vice, but every episode is basically like, yep, here's another way that we're fucking the Earth.
Yeah, one of my friends was, a couple of my friends were complaining that particular segment came off smarmy, like they were just making fun of the Texans. And I was like, I mean, I guess I could see that. And I definitely think that one reporter just seems like he's smarmy no matter what he does because how he looks.
and how he's meh.
But I thought they were doing the best they could do on that one. There wasn't really much they could say.
I mean, the people are praying for rain. How else can you portray them?
I don't know.
They're saying, I will drink as much water as I want because eventually it'll rain because I've been praying. Yeah. I don't know how you portray them differently.
I don't know.
From what I heard, they disproved that. Is that guy's answer, do you think this is global warming?
Yeah, I read it on the internet or something. I think I heard that. Well, that's the problem with climate change is you kind of just you kind of opt out of all the news because there's nothing you can do about it and it's really depressing. So you're like, I don't actually want to read about that.
Well, because it's melting the earth and there's a huge percentage, especially of Americans, that are like, that ain't even real, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my dad. So my dad completely denies it, which is funny because my father-in-law, as of 2 months from now, his entire life's work has been as a climate change scientist.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, no, it's not. Whatever. Climate always changes. Just like repeating the Bill O'Reilly talking points.
Well, same with Justin. Justin works as a environmental consultant and his father-in-law is the same way.
Yep.
That's not
but
real.
His father-in-law is very religious, so that may... I never really put two and two together that the super religious people, one, listen to all the crazy... Well, the crazy conservatives have made sense, but then the fact that God actually controls the weather is why it can't be real, because, I mean, he controls it.
Yeah, it used to be... I feel like the whole... The competition between the religious environmentalists didn't really start until like 30 years ago or something. Like before that, it was kind of, if you were a Christian, it was like cool to.
But I think that's also very fucking brilliant political strategy by the Republican Party.
Yeah.
They're like great. Really fucking good. Yeah. To believe the things they want them to believe.
Yeah.
Well, even that really guy, the guy even said it. He's like, well, I just assumed it wasn't real because Al Gore said it, and I didn't like Al Gore.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Yeah, this is, for those who haven't watched the segment, it's a former congressman from South Carolina, and the reporter goes, so you for a long time denied climate change. Why? And he goes, well, I just didn't even really do any research, but Al Gore believed in it, so I just knew that I had to not believe in it. And the remark I made to Vince is, this reporter is showing extreme restraint by not just like picking up the closest heavy object and trying to cave in this guy's fucking face. Like to say that, the guy just says it with a straight face, like, well, that was my job, and it's like, you know, totally betraying any sort of idea of like being a public servant, which maybe that's me being naive. But
well, that's
like,
what they all, I mean, that's what they're all doing now.
Like, right.
I'm sure there's any number of valid criticisms that if you're on the left, you're just like, oh, well, it's fucking, and it's the right that said that. So obviously we can't take it seriously.
Yeah.
When you're like, actually, there's some validity in there.
Right. Well, regardless of where you sit on the political spectrum, it's kind of like, boy, I wouldn't feel too bad for anybody if they got fucking strung up like Mussolini in the town square.
Well, yeah, when you
wouldn't
hear...
lose a fucking wink of sleep if any of these assholes.
When you hear an adult say it out loud, where he's like, "Well, I didn't actually do any research, but I just figured somebody else said it," so you're like, "Really? All right, Jesus."
Yeah.
Quite literally, Vince.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, come on, man. You got to really like start self-actualizing and making some self-discoveries out there. Otherwise, this whole trip is going to have been a waste.
Really? So like, what sort of stuff? Give me some examples of self-actualization that I am missing out on.
I don't know. I didn't really read Eat, Pray, Love. I think she like boned Javier Bardem at one point, and then...
Ooh, see if you can do
that. Oh, and that's how she got her groove back.
Yeah, and then she ate some spaghetti and prayed to Hindu.
Okay.
She prayed to an elephant, ate some spaghetti, and fucked a Latin dude, I think.
Does it have to be Javier Bardem? Because I don't know if he's in this part of the world.
Yes, it absolutely has to be him.
I mean, it could be Taye Diggs.
And if his hair is cut, he's got to wear the bowl hat.
What do I connect top? Because, man, I think Taye Diggs would tear me up.
I don't know. I don't think Taye Diggs is a huge guy. I think he's actually, I think he's small and handsome.
And gentle.
Yeah. I guarantee you that guy smells amazing.
Oh, kidding me? Of course he does.
I bet he smells like sandalwood lotion. You know he does.
Getting excited.
Or maybe he's just like really like, you know, manly musk, like showers.
Oh, Javier Bardem?
Who takes showers?
Oh, I think Javier Bardem definitely, he's like, he's got that good smell with a little bit of BO mixed
like
in.
Like a little bit of musk.
Funk, it's like,
he's a little, it's like a sexy funk.
Yeah. You're right. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad we can all agree on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so either Javier Bardem or Taye Diggs, one or the other.
Right.
Eat some spaghetti.
Uh-huh.
And then, well, I am going, didn't she go to Indonesia? I am going there.
She did, I think.
I doubt she ate spaghetti.
I think it was India.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I thought there was a part, there's somewhere that I read about that, maybe Eat, Pray, Love 2, she went to...
Return to the Mac.
Sequel.
The queefening.
Yeah.
I think. All right, Vince, you got to decide. First, I've been looking for the plane.
Okay.
I'm scuba diving 18 hours a day looking for this plane, and no sign of it, FYI. Don't know
I don't think there ever was a plane.
Yeah.
Oh, that is like the spoon.
I think they put all those fake actors that that staged Sandy Hook on the plane and flew them into the ocean. So
where's Jason
talk.
Dove?
Yeah.
Turn this plane that never existed around.
You had him on. What was his theory? I'm curious.
I can't remember.
Oh, he did have some theories.
I feel so bad about Alan Weisbecker. He keeps emailing me And I don't know what to tell him because he's got this movie that he wants me to watch where the thing is he like goes around the country like showing people evidence for like 9/11 being fake, and I'm just sort of like, I don't know what I can.
How about some background on A.C. Weisbecker?
Okay, so he wrote.
I feel like most listeners have no idea.
He wrote a few books. He wrote Cosmic Banditos, which is a fun. He started out as a writer for like Miami Vice. He was a drug. He was a legit drug smuggler for a large portion of his life. Super interesting dude. Really great writer. Wrote Cosmic Banditos, which is a novel. It was like mid-80s, late-80s, something like that. Was it one of the early Miami Vice writers? He wrote another book, which is called
Cosmic Banditos. Is hilarious.
It's amazing, but one of my favorites.
It's great. It's a fantastic.
Is that his like autobiographical one about his travels?
No, not yet. The next one was In Search of Captain Zero, where one of his drug smuggling buddies had just sort of disappeared in Central America and gotten addicted to crack, and so he takes an RV and he drives it down to try and find this guy, which is another amazing book.
He drove down to like Baja, right?
No, well, he drove all through Mexico and then down through, I think, Costa Rica on like the Panama border is where he found him, I think.
Gotcha.
So that was another great book. And then he has.
So he found him.
He did find him. And he was just. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert. Jeez. I know. And then his third book was sort of. It's partially like a tell all about Hollywood and sort of the shit he was dealing with his. Trying to get his books made into movies. And partially about his girlfriend that he had at the time.
It's a really good book, but at this point he's sort of off the grid, and it was self-published. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading it and thinking there's so many parts that were just brilliant, and so many parts where I'm like, "God damn, this guy needs an editor."
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was like he needed an editor, but I definitely like knowing him now. There's definitely cracks where you're like, maybe he is a bit paranoid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So anyway, and then you guys started corresponding right around the time the book came out, right?
Yeah, and I interviewed him, and I thought it was great. But he's also, you know, a 9/11
truther,
conspiracy theorist, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, man. It's like they just want to keep showing you evidence, and you're like, I'm never going to know the answer to those things.
Right. And it's kind of like global warming in a way. Like, maybe that's not the best, maybe it's a false equivalency, but in the same sense where someone's like, well, what about this? Here's some like really clear evidence. And you're like, I mean, maybe that's good evidence, but I don't really know. You know, where it's like on the surface of things, I don't know how like explosion patterns work. And, you know, because people
I read the whole breakdown in Popular Mechanics where they're like, here's how it actually happened. And so now.
Right, but people
now I need an explanation of why all those people are wrong,
right?
And then an explanation of why this person who says this,
and so then it just kind of comes back to like, it sounds kind of preposterous that there would be these like timed explosions, right? And
like the details of it are
what's the end game?
The details of it are under such dispute that I have to think about it from a macro sense, and I just can't fathom that anyone could have the amount of organization it would take to pull something like that off.
Exactly.
Number one. And then what did they actually get out of it?
Right.
That's always
what's the end game?
Yeah.
The conspiracy stuff never quite thinks about the, like, why did someone do it? I mean, I get the sort of George Bush side where it's like, well, he got to go to Iraq and everyone made a ton of money, but it doesn't quite add up.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, just like at a certain point, conspiracy theorism is a lot like religion where, you know, it just feels like people really need to have the sense that there's some greater force out there controlling everything.
Yep.
Well, that's the lizard people, right?
Yeah. Hollow moons, man.
Well, that's why conspiracy buffs get such a fucking hard on for the whole lizard people thing, which like, listen, I happen to think life is kind of boring, and I think if some of these conspiracy, like, I would love nothing more
than
if we never landed on the moon. How fucking amazing. I would be on cloud nine if it turned out we went to all those fucking lengths to fake that landing. Man, I would be so happy. Do you know what I want more than anything in this entire world? I want for there to be a Sasquatch. I want that more than anything.
Yeah.
I want there to be a Sasquatch.
More than an abominable snowman?
Well, they're kind of the same thing.
Whoa, I'm gonna go Nessie. I would like a Loch Ness monster.
Fair
more
enough.
Than a Sasquatch.
Me too.
That's like a legit dinosaur.
I'm really into cryptozoology. Like, I really like the idea of all that stuff. But like, just common sense speaking, it's like, come on, dog.
What about the coelacanth, man?
Right.
They thought that shit was extinct, but it wasn't.
I'm like Mulder, man. I want to believe.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, we've got to, you got to grow up.
Yeah.
So anyway, like my whole point of, around that whole kind of thing is like, I get that point of view of like, there's got to be some greater meaning to ascribe to this. And I just think pragmatically, I end up coming back to like, no, that's just like life's fucked up. And sometimes people are dicks and fly planes into buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Shit happens.
It's a lot of fucked up coincidence. And I just, I mean, of all the people that could have orchestrated something and covered it up, I think the George W. Bush administration is the last one that I find believable. Because they couldn't fucking do anything right.
No.
They really couldn't do, like, there was not one thing that they did right.
Yeah, they're just bumbling around, and yet they planned the most massive, elaborate attacks in modern history, especially at a time now where there's cameras everywhere and people everywhere, and it, that would be a tough one to pull off without anyone knowing.
And like, the idea that you could fake 9/11, but then you'd go into an Iraq and not be able to at least plant
some weapons. Yeah.
Really? I don't know, man.
Yeah, plant some. All like, you need one fucking ounce of enriched uranium, and you've justified this entire thing. And they couldn't even do that. Yeah.
Well, then you could just go nuts on Iraq too, even more so.
Not even enriched uranium, by the way. Like have some sort of biological
fucking
weapon.
Ricin, man.
Yeah, lab, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Look what we found. Right. Smoking gun over here.
Well, I found this in his pocket. Very bad, Saddam.
Oh, what's this? Like the cop that plants drugs on a suspect?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but see, that's why it's so diabolically genius. They planned 9/11, and then they fucked up
Iraq.
They
knew that we knew that they knew that we knew that. Well, and that's the whole logic of the conspiracy theorists, right?
Yeah. Well, no, exactly.
But that's just because they knew. They thought that if it went off without a hitch, it would look too clean, mm-hmm. so they couldn't just do that. So they had to make it look like they bungled the weapons of mass destruction. But that was their plan all along.
Yeah.
Just follow the money.
So now I'm in this position where it's like, I don't know how to not ignore this guy that I respect.
Oh, sorry. We got very sidetracked.
Yeah, no, not at all. On purpose.
We'll just have him listen to the podcast now.
Yeah. I doubt he's listening to
it. He'll take it well, yeah. Just beaming fucking waves in your brain, dude.
Yeah.
Mind control.
It's like, I want to be like, hey, still like you, still want to talk to you, but I don't know what to do with this movie.
And he's like off the grid, right? He's like,
I don't think
Wait,
so.
Wait, he made a movie about it?
Yeah, sort of. He made like I think it's about him like traveling like around and showing people sort of evidence. And then he'll send me like links to other interviews he's done periodically. And the last one he sent me was like, check out journalist so-and-so has covered Water Time. That's the movie's name. And I read it, and then I like look up who the journalist is, and it's like this guy who's written a book about how AIDS isn't actually caused by HIV, and like it's the
oh conspiracy. Yeah, it was like the best cover ever. It was like this cover, man, that was designed in MS Paint.
And so now I'm like, I don't know what to even say to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're at an hour 47.
Okay. Well,
so
nice work,
we're just
everybody.
Getting started.
Yeah.
How come Matt Lieb isn't around? What happened?
I'm sorry that I'm not Matt Lieb.
I don't know.
Who's the sultry voice is that?
That's Torrio Van Grohl.
Oh, hello there.
Hi.
He's chilling.
It's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well. You don't need to apologize for not being Matt Lieb. He's just been,
I do it multiple times a day.
50 straight broadcasts. So I just.
Story of my life.
I hope he's okay.
I literally got introduced on stage once as we couldn't get the guy who won the competition.
Really?
So we got the guy that came in second.
Oh my God, really?
Mm-hmm.
Who won it?
Matt Lieb. Won it.
Oh,
Matt Lieb won it, and I came in second.
Oh,
and I went up there and was like, all right. Like, why don't you just kick me in the balls before I go on stage?
I'm
like,
your silver medal.
Yeah.
Well, in the future, that show is going to be really popular. Ow, my balls.
It's true.
It's not, I'm not far enough in the future to where that's on, but I'm hoping soon.
Report back.
Yeah, I'll let you guys know. I mean, things happen out here before, you know, like if it's raining in Texas, I'll know before you guys.
Uh-oh. Could you do something over there to make it rain in Texas, like
doesn't
butterfly
rain
effect?
In Texas?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are putting a lot on my plate. I got to eat, pray, love. I got to find Taye Diggs and or what if I found Taye Diggs and Javier Bardem and had like
got to fuck them both. Got to ski pull them.
Oh, man.
Just a hot interracial ski pole action.
That's you got white, Latino, and black. That is covering all the bases.
Yeah, and Jewish.
Yeah, white Jew. A musky Latino man and a sweet, sweet smelling black man.
Sweet sandalwood smelling chestnut black man.
See him like a rich mahogany.
Uh-huh.
Just a wonderful smell. And natural too.
Yeah. Tay Diggs smells like baby powder for sure.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
All right, man. We gotta put this thing to bed.
All right, let's do it.
Nice work, everybody.
Ben, thanks for coming on. Keep praying and loving.
I will keep praying and loving. I'll keep looking for the plane, and then I think I'm going to have to divert the trip to Benghazi.
Okay. Tell me if you see Alan out there. Give him my best.
I think he's posted up in Benghazi, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, you never know.
All right. Well, thanks for listening once again. Mr. Torrio, thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Anything you want to plug? A show? Maybe your Twitter? Something? Anything?
Sure. Twitter? Torrio Van Grohl, very creative.
All right.
Torrio.
Check out all the tweets I got deleted.
Van Grohl.
There it is.
I mean, 4,000 followers, that's fucking legit.
I have enough. Sometimes I mobilize them.
That's awesome.
All right. It's fun. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Vince, what's the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030. Love to get any voicemails and emails you got. Just send them on in. If you got butt problems, I want to hear about them, you know?
That's right. Send them to frogcast@gmail.com. And until next week, good night and good chins.
Boosh.